So good morning then, and welcome back to Thought for the Day. We're looking today at Joshua chapter 4 and verses 19 through to 24. We pray that the Lord will help us with that, and so let's do that. Let's ask for his help. Loving Father, as we come to you this morning, we pray that as we look at this short passage from the book of Joshua, that you'd be pleased to speak to us through it. We ask that we might understand something of, Lord, your wonder. And we pray, Lord, that you would work in our lives, that we might be faithful followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we ask it for his glory. Amen. So let me read to you from Joshua chapter 4 and verses 19 through to 24. On the 10th day of the first month, the people went up from the Jordan and camped at Gilgal on the eastern border of Jericho. And Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken out of the Jordan, and he said to the Israelites, "In the future, when your descendants ask their fathers, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them, 'Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan just as he had done to the Red Sea, when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God.'" So on Tuesday this week, we were thinking about the very memorial stones that we are thinking about today in our passage. On Tuesday, we're thinking of how God's people were to view the stones as a reminder of God's hand on them to bring them into the promised land. Well, that same memorial in God's plan was also to be a reminder to the world around, not only of his grace, but rather of his power. And now when people from the surrounding area were asked what these stones were about, and they heard the tale of God stopping the river in full harvest flow, God would use that to show his power. He would, as it were, in the telling of that incident, it would be that God's power would be known. And it's not that the stones made God look powerful, but that the stones gave the opportunity to recount God's power. So they'd come with a question: why are these stones here? Well, let me tell you what happened. 100 years ago, my people were held captive in Egypt. They were chained and forced to work for nothing. It seemed that there was no way out, yet when they cried out to God, he delivered us from the hands of the Egyptians. He had driven us from the land until we came to the Red Sea. And again, at the Red Sea, it looked like we were lost to the Egyptian army as they came to destroy us. And there was no way forward. Yet God opened up the way and made a path for us through the Red Sea. And God promised that one day we would make it into Canaan. When we found ourselves the other side of the Jordan, and it looked as though it would be difficult to cross, God in his grace came, God in his power came, and held back the water and brought us through. Without God, we would have perished. Now, we too, as people ask us about the bread and the wine when we eat communion, we have an opportunity to tell the story of God's rescue, to show how his hand on us is powerful. We could not be rescued. We could not belong to God were it not for Jesus Christ going to the cross and powerfully defeating sin, Satan, and death. His death is the most powerful act of God ever. Not only does it remind the world of their place before God, the fact that one day they'll have to stand before Jesus, who has made it possible for them to be right with the eternal God, but yet you'll face him as a judge if they don't turn to him. But also it helps to remind us that we too should fear the Lord our God. The power to save, that brings the plans of Satan to nothing, should make us aware of who it is that we are dealing with. So the way that God rescues should make us consider who he is and how he rescues. In our world, monarchs don't have the same power that they once did. But picture yourself in the king's court. You walk and laugh with the regent, enjoying his company and his favour. And as you spend time with him, at his request, he's the one who's called you to be there. You become conscious that it's only his favour that means that you keep your head. You know, many others would be good friends find themselves instead facing the king's wrath. Now, he has the power over life and death. Before for all your good relationship with God, with the king, it becomes obvious that the king has power over you living or dying. And you would be careful, wouldn't you, in that situation, to make sure that you never took your relationship for granted. You would make sure that you never overstepped the mark. You would be conscious all the while of the need, even as the king is your friend, to treat him with the respect and deference that his office as king demanded. Now, therefore, this memorial that is set up at God's request reminds of salvation, victory, power, and is also a reminder of our frailty without God. The next time we come to communion, we too need to reflect on those things. Salvation, victory, power, and our own frailty without God. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, help us to remember really where we stand in terms of you. It is wonderful that we have this glorious relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, but help us to remember too that he is King, that he is all powerful, and Lord, that we should come with the right respect and the right adoration and the right the right deference. So we pray, Lord, that you'd work in us today, that we might truly love and respect and adore our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask it in his name. Amen.